Thank you, Dean and Orlita. What a beautiful song. Beautiful, well done. And we thank you for singing for us this morning. All right. Junior church may be dismissed. I have a thank you card here to our church family, JR and I, that would be Nancy. We'd like to thank everyone for their prayers, cards, and the beautiful wind chimes. Also, a special thanks to Pastor Joe, Anna, Frosty, and Janet for coming to spend time with us. May God bless you all. And our prayers have been with Nancy, as her sister passed away unexpectedly a week ago on Friday. Doug and Stacy, congratulations on future grandpa and grandma. I got so excited. This is me. I was going to type in congratulations, and instead I typed in congestion. And I went back a little bit later and saw what I wrote. Oh, my. My fingers are so big, they take up three letters on my phone. So I corrected it, but congratulations. That's great news. They're going to have a little girl in February, and we're happy for them. As Frosty mentioned, tonight in our evening service, the Marietta Bible College Choir will be here to sing. It's always a great event every year when they come. We normally have it on a Thursday night, but with this virus and things going on and trying to get people out, is very difficult. So we talked to them, and they have agreed to come on a Sunday night, and that is tonight. Dr. Goddard, unless something goes haywire today, he will be here tonight with the choir to speak after they sing. You won't want to miss tonight. It's always an uplifting service, a great time. And we really enjoy the choir. I get to go down every Tuesday and teach them. And they're just a real wonderful group of young people. So we're looking forward to having them in tonight at 6 o'clock for the evening service. Now, after the morning service is over, I need some muscle. We've got to clear this platform. Pulpit's got to go, the bench has got to go, the choir chairs have got to go, and we don't need to take the banisters. They can stay up, but all the furniture on the platform will have to be cleared after the morning service for the choir tonight. Hope you can be back for that. We have some activities coming up in December. We'll have in the bulletin next week. We do have a dinner coming up. We have the cantata coming up. We have a New Year's Eve service coming up. So there are things coming up here in December that we will be putting in the bulletin in the upcoming week. All right, would you turn in your Bibles again this morning to Psalm 116? I'm teaching each Sunday morning through November on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And we were in this psalm last Sunday morning. We are in this psalm again this Sunday. We'll see how we get along, maybe again another Sunday. This is one of the most beautiful psalms in the entire 150. Now we get our, and I did not show you last week, we get our theme from the last part, the first part of chapter 116, verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Offering of thanksgiving. And so last week we saw where the psalmist declared in number one, his love for the Lord. And then we saw his motivation, because. And then we saw his great proclamation, his commitment. And we're not going to take the time to look at all these commitments. But when you love someone, you're committed to them. You're committed to them. And so we're going to be looking at this today. What caused David to love the Lord so greatly that he would make such great commitments to him? And we'll be looking at that in just a moment. I'd like to have prayer now. I ask the Lord to bless our time in the service. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the beautiful choir number. Thank you for the lovely piece that Dean and Olita sang, minister to our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for Frosty's Sunday School lesson this morning. And Lord, all that has taken place thus far in our service this morning. And now as we look to the Word of God, we look to the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, our guide, to lead us into the truths that you would have for us this morning. Spirit of God, guide and lead us. We totally, 100% depend upon you to be our teacher this morning, our guide, to help us to take from the Scriptures this morning the nourishment that we need for our souls and our spiritual life, and more of a commitment and more of an intimate relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. So have your work and your will in all of our lives this morning. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I challenged everyone last week that was here sometime to write down on a piece of paper a number between 1 and 10 of where they felt that they were in a close, intimate relationship with Christ. And I said if anybody put number 10 down, they weren't being honest. And that's a fact. None of us are where we ought to be. All of us have got ground to claim. All of us have got progress to make. It's the fact, do we desire it? It's the truth and the underlying truth, do we want it? And how bad do we want it? To love the Lord. The psalmist says in 116, I love the Lord. Great declaration. Great declaration. I love the Lord. Then he says, because, and that's his motivation. Motivation. Sometimes affection is given for wrong reasons. Sometimes affection is given for bad reasons. And this is not one of those cases. So we found last week his motivation, which caused him to make the declaration. And then as he makes so many commitments, we looked at the many times he said, I will, I will, I will. That's his proclamation of commitment. I will. I will. I'm not just going to say it, but I will. And I want you to notice in verse 18, in the middle of the verse, a little three-letter word. Verse 18, a little three-letter word. N-O-W. Now. We are people of bad habits, and one of those habits in my life happens to be procrastination. And the older you get, the more you procrastinate. I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'll take care of that next week. We're creatures, and that's we're creatures of postponing things. And when it comes to commitment, we need to act immediately. We need to act immediately. And, you know, Solomon said it's better not to commit, not to vow, than to make a vow and don't keep it. Better not to even make a vow. And I emphasized that last week between a marriage union and a husband and wife that it don't mean much today anymore. They say it, but they don't mean it. Preachers used to say, until death do us part. They don't say that anymore. They used to say, what God put together, let no man take asunder. They don't say that anymore. They've done away with a lot of the phraseologies in marriages because they don't keep it. Doesn't mean anything. That's sad. You know, when I grew up back in the late 40s, early 50s, a man's word meant something. A man's word meant something. But, wow, we have drifted far from that. But anyway, we see the psalmist's commitment. And I'm afraid that many of us lose out. We may be involved in God's program. We may be involved in God's plan. We may be involved in activity and all of the different things that has to be involved in it. But I challenged the young people down at the college this past Tuesday, don't get so involved in the program that you leave the person out. That's what Paul did. The great apostle Paul became so involved in the program of God. And boy, when he got saved in Acts chapter 9, he put the foot to the pedal and he never left off until he went to heaven. Just full speed ahead. But when it came down to the end, and he was going out to meet the Lord that he had met in Acts chapter 9. He told the church at Philippi, oh, that I might know him. I want to know. I know all about his program. Boy, I know how to preach it. I know how to teach it. I know how to write it. But I don't know him. I don't know him. And in these perilous times that we live in, I want to tell you again this morning, and I've been saying this for months, we're going to wish 2020 would come back. If you ever think that normality is going to be back, forget it. Nothing is ever going to return back to normality. Forget it. And if you think this year's been bad, and I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, but I'm a realistic and a realist, things are not good on the world stage, but it has to become this way for Jesus to come. I posted a statement yesterday, quit watching the news, start watching the eastern sky. The king's coming. And so fall in love with Jesus all over again. And his person. That takes time. That takes determination. That takes the motivation of our heart to spend time with him. And I've used this illustration dozens of times. That around the table the night before he died, as they sat there, and many of them were in disarray after he announced that one of you are going to betray me. They went into a disarray and they went into confusion. And is it I? And fear and frustration. And there was one that had his head buried in the bosom of Christ, resting in the bosom. While all the rest of them were in fear, frustration, questioning, John says, I don't know who it is, but I know who it's not. It's not me. He buried his head in the bosom of Christ, John the Beloved. And the bosom of Christ is big enough for all that want to take the time to put it there. So I challenged you last week, write a number down and look at it. Look at it and say, this is where I am in my personal intimacy with my Savior. Whether it be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'll just say this, I had a low score. And I've been busy, this is my 43rd year, and I've been pretty much all over this world, and I've preached and built churches and colleges, and I too, at the age of 32 when I got saved, put my foot to the pedal and never left off, never let up. Now arthritis is it's keeping my foot from being down there. So I got to get that old biofreeze and keep me going. But we leave out the most important part, and that's his person. We leave him out. And so I challenged you to look at your number and challenge your own heart. I want this number to increase. You have to be honest. You got to be honest and upfront with your own heart. Now, let me give you three things that David loves the Lord for. I gave you two of them last week. Ran out of time. Can you believe that? This preacher ran out of time. Number one reason, verse 1, he heard me. He heard me. Number 2, the last part of verse 6, he helped me. I love him because he heard me. And the last part of verse 6, he helped me. Number 3, and that is in the last part of verse 16. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Thou hast freed me. You heard me. You helped me. You freed me. And I love you. Amen? Amen. Now, what did he hear the psalmist cry? What did he help the psalmist in? And what did he deliver the psalmist from? We're just kind of dissecting this psalm. But remember this, because I may not get back to it. In looking at your number, and I challenge you, get the piece of paper out every week and look at it, and challenge your own heart. Have I claimed any new ground? Have I made any progress? And only your heart can answer that question. But here's the question we left ourselves with last week. Now we know David loves the Lord because the Lord heard him, the Lord helped him, and the Lord freed him. And we're going to see what he heard him, see what he helped him, and see what he freed him from. But here is a man that's in love, not with the program of God, but with the person of God. I love to preach. I love to teach. I would never be satisfied in life ever doing anything else than what I've been doing for nearly the past 43 years. I love it. It's my life. As I've often said, this is where I want to die. When God takes me, I want to be standing in a pulpit. That's where I told the church almost 9 years ago, and they called me anyway. Now, it's my life. But I think as I challenged my own heart last Sunday, am I like Paul? How much do I really know about the person of God? The person of Christ. I know a lot about the program and the administration, the organization, and shuffling and organizing and planning and programming and doing this and missions and all of that. But what about him? You have to search your own heart. But here is the question we left everybody with last week. Verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his blessings or benefits toward me? What can I do for him since he's done all of this for me? And remember, it's called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. People that are thankful have no problem giving. That's why commitment came so easy for the psalmist. He says in verse 13 in one of his commitments, I will take the cup. I will take the cup. If you remember when Jesus was in the garden the night before he was arrested in the garden and the night before he died on Calvary, he prayed three times and he said, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. Activity, a program, or what's put on your plate. Take this cup. And the psalmist said, I will take the cup of salvation. Whatever you put on my plate is fine with me. Whatever you put on my plate, I will accept. I want to tell you, that's quite admirable. Because sometimes there's things put on our plate as a child that I didn't necessarily care for. Spinach. Now, Popeye and Olive might have liked it, but this preacher didn't. Spinach. It looks like, I won't tell you what it looks like, but it's not desirable. I sat down, Ann and I sat down in a home in Romania back in 1994 when we first moved there. It was a traditional Romanian home and so forth. And back in 94, things were pretty tough. Things were pretty rough. They didn't have a whole lot. And they make a soup. It's called nettle soup. And they go out in the fields and gather these nettles. And they bring them in, they put them in broth, and they boil them. It's called nettle soup. Sorry if you're watching this morning over there, but I never did like your nettle soup. Like the bread, dipped it down the broth. But it was terrible. Sometimes things are put on your plate that's not desirable, and sometimes things are put on your plate that's not you're interested in. But Mom and Dad said, eat it. And the Bible said, whatever is put before you, eat it, asking no questions. So anyway, I will take the cup. I will take the cup. That's commitment because he's in love with the Lord. Now, what did he cry? What did he ask that the Lord heard him? Verse 2. He hath inclined his ear unto me. That's personal. The Lord personally inclined his ear. That means showed personal interest in what the psalmist had to say. You don't think God don't take special interest in your life? You don't think that God's not interested in what's going on in your life and in your heart? He's very interested. He hath inclined his ear. I've stood beside the bed of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in sickness and some eventually death who did not have the strength to be able to speak. And many times that I can remember, they would go And what they was wanting me to come down near so they could tell me something. God inclined his ear. You know, sometimes we are in such a ravished, such a turmoil that it's hard for us to speak. It's hard for us to lift up our voice. It's hard for us to express. And that's what the psalmist was in. He was in one of those dilemmas. And he said he didn't only hear me. He made special interest to show me he heard me. Therefore, I'm going to call upon his name. First commitment. If it worked when I was in despair, if it worked to where he would incline his ear down to my cry, I will call upon him as long as I live. If prayer works, use it. If prayer works, don't abuse it. Now here's his problem in verse 3. Here's his problem. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Didn't say he was dying. He said it's just the sorrows of death. It's just the pains of hell. Now I could go into that and elaborate upon that theologically. At the end of the service, you wouldn't be any better benefited or blessed than just trying to say to you, this is the condition to which the psalmist found himself in. The pains of hell and the sorrows of death. It brought him trouble and sorrow. And he says, verse 4, then, this is when he called, and this is when the Lord heard. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, here's his prayer. He even tells us what he prays. Doesn't have to be a long prayer. O Lord, the word beseech means to ask. I beseech thee, deliver my soul. This is an internal turbulence. This is not some outward physical affliction. This is a spiritual turbulence in the soul. Oh God, oh Lord, I'm asking you, deliver my soul. My soul. I love the Lord. I love him because he heard me. He inclined his ear to me. I love him. Now, let's step back for just a moment and ask the question again that I asked last Sunday morning. Do we love because of what we get, or do we love the one that gave it? And we can only answer that. Do we love because of what we got, or do we love the one that gave it? The Lord gave us life, physical, spiritual. He created us, then he saved us. And when he resurrected, he said, because I live, ye live also. And that life is not without trouble. We're studying that on Wednesday nights. So this is an internal turbulence. Sometimes in my own personal life, it's like one of those things coming up out of the Gulf called a hurricane. And it's twirling around inside my heart and in my soul. You've been there. You've all been there. And it's like a hurricane, a whirlwind, a typhoon, whirling, swirling around inside our heart and in our soul. And we're troubled. Deliver, 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 deliver my soul. So the praise comes when God does something. Praise should follow. Amen? When the Lord does something, praise should come. You know, it's not hard to complain. That comes natural. But sometimes it's hard to praise when things are not so wonderful. The Bible says, be ye thankful in everything. Give thanks. So he praises in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. He admitted, I didn't deserve what he did for me. It's his grace and mercy. It's his grace and mercy. It's not something because I'm great. It's not something that I deserve. It's not something I earned. It's not something that he had to do. He's a gracious and merciful God. And when I cried, he heard me to the point that I was so troubled and full of sorrow, he inclined his ear down to me to show me that he is taking personal interest in what my trouble is in my heart. That's praise and thanksgiving. In verse 6, we get to, he helped me. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low. I was down. I was down. And he helped me. I was brought low. He helped me. So in verse 9, I will walk. Hard to walk when you're down. He helped him to walk again. Before the Lord. Put him back on his feet. Gave him a standing. Established his heart. Settled his soul. Gave him peace within. And put him back up on his feet. Hard to walk when you're down. Even desire to walk when you're down. Even to contemplate going anywhere when you're down. He helped me return back to the proper position. I was in this decline. I was in this sorrow and in these pains. I was troubled. My soul was in turbulence. I cried to him. He heard me. He inclined his ear to me because he is a gracious Lord and he's a merciful God. He helped me. So in verse 7, return to thy rest, O my soul. You lay down. I'm getting up. Glory to Christ. So, you lay down. I'm getting up and I'm going on. That's the help. That's the help from the Lord who is merciful and gracious. I love him because he heard me. And what he heard me, he delivered me from. And now I can say to my soul, take your rest. I'm going to walk on. Boy, you get help like that. Get back on your feet. Poor old Mel lost his foot this week. They had to amputate it. He got along real good. He went through the surgery well. He's in recuperation. And eventually they're going to fit him with an artificial foot. Let him walk again. It's amazing what they can do today. Amazing. I'm not staying down anymore. I'm getting up. Because he heard me. And because he helped me. Wow. That's something to be thankful for at this time of Thanksgiving, at this month where we emphasize Thanksgiving. I love all the ornaments and I love all the decorations. I love the fall colors. Frosty and Janet, Nan and I were over in, we were over in the hills of southern Ohio. Oh boy, he took me up a mountain he grew up on, him and Janet. They only lived about 3 or 4 miles apart as the bird flies. But if you go by the way the car goes, ew! Not too desirable. But oh, the leaves, even though they've been burnt some and dry, they were so beautiful to see the colors of the fall. And I love the fall. I love the fall colors and everything that is. You know, we've got a lot on our plate today as an American citizen. And we can be down. We could be down. Listen, there's nothing going on in this world worth getting down for and allowing your soul to be disquieted and to be disrupted. There's nothing in this world going on today in your life. Listen, the Lord knows all about it. And He wants to help you. Will you let Him hear you? You say, suppose he's been hearing me, but what has he been hearing? Has he been hearing complaining? Griping? Disgusting? Anger? Or he's been hearing, Lord, help and deliver my soul. Let my soul return back to the rest so that I can get up and walk on. I love him. I love him. Now you keep reexamining your number throughout the weeks ahead. I'd like to see my number go up at least a point or two. Turbulent times. The Bible calls them, Paul said, perilous times. In the latter days. Perilous time. A word perilous means turbulence. It means time that will wear on you. It'll wear you. It'll wear you down. That's what it means. And we're in it. We're on it. This virus. You know, I remember back years ago, growing up, back in the 50s and the 60s and so forth, and I grew up where I had two nickels to rub together sometimes, and I'd buy a few things. You know, on the label of everything you bought, it said, made in, you got it. Well, we had a virus, made in. Yeah. Like everything else, made in. It's made in there. It was on purpose. Done on purpose. And here we are left to deal with it. But my God knows all about it. And it's not going to get me down. I love my country. I love this great land of America. There's no other, and I've been across a big part of this world, my friends. And there's no other country in this world as great as America. It's a God-blessed country. And it's been a God-exalted country. What the future holds, I have no idea. I'm not God. But I know that America cannot continue to do what it's doing and get by with it. I got a new BLM. A new BLM. Babies' lives matter. Babies' lives matter. ALM, all lives matter. It's all created by God. Don't let your soul get in this condition. Because it'll get you down. It'll get you down. It'll get you down. Let me ask you a question. You be honest with your own heart. Can you honestly from your heart say, thank you, Lord, that all that's going on in the world, in my heart, in my life, thank you for everything that's in my life that I'm experiencing, I'm coping, whatever. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Can you do it? You can if you love the Lord. There's one thing these world leaders around the world are going to wake up one day and find out. There's a higher deity. All these world leaders that think they've got the world in control, who are nothing more than agents of Satan, being used to fulfill Satan's goal as the god of this world. Someday they're going to realize, and they're going to, I can't go down very far because I can't get Arthur up. They're going to bow the knee to Jesus. Every one of them. Don't let them rob your joy. Don't let them rob your peace. Don't let this world get you in a state of despair in your soul. Listen, if it's there or it's going there, just cry out and say, oh Lord, hear me and deliver me and come and help me. Get back where I need to be and keep walking on. That's what we need. I love him. You see, when he does this for us, it's not hard to say, I'll do anything for him. And it's not hard to question my own heart, what shall I render unto him for all his benefits to me? It's not hard to ask that question to my own heart. What all shall I do? I will walk. He says in verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk. This is what he did for him. This is how he helped him. This is how he helped him. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to walk before him. Like Frosty said this morning in the Sunday school hour, here's our boss. This is our boss, right here. This is our boss. And the author of it lives inside of us. And we are to obey him. It wasn't as if it was a light thing for the psalmist. Look at the last four words of verse 10. Remember what I said? When you find adverbs and adjectives, it's to emphasize something. And I watch when people speak, especially certain people, and I watch what they put in there because they want to emphasize something. He didn't say I was afflicted. I was greatly afflicted. He added that adverb in there. He didn't think I knew that was an adverb, did you? 73 years old, finally learning English. I said in my haste, all men are liars. I would agree with you, psalmist. I would agree with you. That's not hard to disagree with. But listen, he wants to restore us and deliver us and put our soul at rest and get us back on our feet and walk on before the Lord. Walk on before the Lord in the land of the living. Now, the third thing he did for him, thou hast loosed my bonds. Thou hast loosed my bonds. This is not hard to figure out. He was incarcerated by his own feelings and emotions. And you've loosed me, and now I'm free. Listen, and I don't have the time. I'm going to let you out a little early this morning, believe it or not. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And that word liberty means freedom. Freedom. And the psalmist had become so engulfed, and we don't know what situation put him in this. We don't know what situation caused him to go into this soul despair and greatly afflicted. We don't know. He doesn't tell us. He just tells us his own condition and how he cried, the Lord heard, the Lord helped, and then eventually the Lord freed. The Lord freed him from himself. From his own emotions, from his own feelings, the Lord has loosed him, loosed the bonds that kept him captive, that kept him incarcerated. People today that walk about and they are their worst enemy. Situations and circumstances. Listen, we're not to let circumstances control us. We are to control the circumstances or let the Lord control them for us. We're not to let problems and situations incarcerate us and bind us. No. We are to be free where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. And in your soul this morning, there needs to be freedom. The freedom to be thankful and the freedom to praise and the freedom to sing and the freedom that is to live for the Lord that we love. To be delivered from one's own self. How often we become our own problem. How often do we become our own problem? Simply because our emotions, our feelings, agitated, angered, revengeful, bitter, on and on. It captures us and controls us. There's no soul that'll be at rest. There'll be no soul that'll be at rest in those conditions. Let me tell you, son, he'll set you free. What did he say to his disciples? He said to his disciples, I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't come. They went ballistic. They had been with him for 3.5 years. And they went ballistic. Peter was one of the worst. I want to go with you. I want to go with you now. Why can't I go with you now? You see, I've been with him for 3.5 years and they found security. They weren't with him because of the food and the fish and the bread. They went with him because they found security. They found spiritual content that they never found before. They loved the word. They loved to be with him. They loved to see all that he did. They were in love with him. And he now says, I'm leaving you, where I'm going, you can't come. They went ballistic. You know what he said to them? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Amen? Don't let your hearts be troubled. God does not want his people to be captured by their own frustration, by their own feelings. That he does not want his people to be captured like this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And enjoy it internally. They may incarcerate me physically, but they'll never incarcerate me innerly. They shut Paul up in prison, but they couldn't shut Paul up. They shut Paul up in Rome in prison, but they couldn't shut Paul up. He wrote 4 or 5 books from Rome. They may be able to cause inflicted pain upon us physically outward. They may be able to cause us to do many things, but they cannot. They simply cannot. No matter who it is, they cannot interfere with my soul. It belongs to the one that's delivered me. And if he stepped to the bow of a boat and spoke to that large body of water that the waves were 12, 15 feet high and threatening people's life, and he stepped to the bow of the ship and simply said, "Peace, be still," and that water just... He can do that in your heart. He can do that. And that'll cause you to be thankful. That'll cause you to be thankful. And while the world, I'll tell you, Christians, as time goes on, this world's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And this is, this period of time, as the world gets worse and worse and worse and worse, this is the greatest time where God can use you. This is the greatest time where God can use you. But if you're all down and captured by your own feelings and all frustrated and all whatever, can't help anybody. So let God set you free. Let God set you free. He heard me. He helped me. He freed me from myself. And I'm thankful. And I will offer the sacrifice of praise. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It's a time for God's people to be thankful. Amen? Amen. Next Sunday, another lesson on Thanksgiving. Appreciate you being out.